Hello and welcome to the Squeaky Bum Time Podcast with Mike and Laurent. In this episode, we're going to discuss the beginning of the end of Frank Lampard, City and Villa playing the game of the year. Well, to me, like it's my first game of the year. But we have to cover Liverpool losing in midweek for the first time at Anfield in 1,369 days.
We must start there.
That's like 4 years.
We must start
Mike,
there.
Where were you when Liverpool last lost the game in 2017?
I was in the womb. Fucking incredible. Which, by the way, they should have lost like 17 games over the course of that stretch. And just this voodoo devil bullshit magic that Jurgen Klopp sold his soul to the devil. Every time.
I'm so glad they didn't have fans. I'm so glad none of the fucking Anfield magic, none of the flags, none of the bullshit. They probably wouldn't have lost with fans, right?
So,
they would have just
No. So they would have, by the way, Nick Pope needs a statue outside of Burnley Stadium for that.
But first he should get braces.
Oh God. Yeah. Well, he's English. So I mean, that's just comes with the territory, right? But oh my goodness. I did not get to see the game live. I went back and rewatched it after the game before our show because I saw that they lost and I was like, get the fuck out of town. I got to see what happened. And Nick Pope, there was basically one player on the field for Burnley. Wow.
No, but the thing is, it was like, I watched most of the second half and I was like, this is everybody. Once in a while, Burnley lives up to its legend. Sometimes they get the shit kicked out of them. Like, I've been afraid of Burnley as a City fan for years, and we've beaten them 5-0 like six times in that. But every once in a while, they put on a performance like this where they're on a string, they're in your face. Well, Jurgen Klopp and Dyche are fighting. Every single time a ball moved, they were there. They just fucked and came to take a giant shit in Liverpool. And it was a stinky, wet one. And Liverpool.
The problem is nobody noticed because that's what all of Liverpool smells like. But listen, here's the thing. I'm going to break the narrative for a second. Liverpool should have won this game 5-0. Okay.
Sure. But they didn't.
Yeah. But like you have all of your prototypical Anfield voodoo bullshit moments, right?
Yeah.
Ben Mee in the 20 whatever ninth minute plays a ball straight into the air to nobody, to Divock Origi, who comes in. No. He didn't just miss. He hit a postage stamp of the post. You can't do that well enough. If he tried 100 times, he probably couldn't have done that again. Just didn't need to fucking push it that hard. He could have just slotted it past Emmy, and he didn't. I'm sorry, past Nick Pope. And he didn't. Cranks it off the bar, and we play on. At halftime, that's a red card on Fabinho. 10 times out of 10. Did you see the challenge? Did you see what happened?
Yeah, he kicked him. He kicked him on the ground.
Yeah. So it's essentially, right at the halftime whistle. And it's funny when you watch the replay, like Klopp is already like jogging back to the locker room.
He and Dyche get into it in the tunnel.
Yeah. Right. But so, but all before this, he comes jogging out and is like, all right, I'm going to start my team talk or whatever. And then it all sort of pops off and he comes back in and him and Dyche, who sort of hate each other. I get the feeling that Sean Dyche hates everybody who's not English.
He's awesome.
I hate him so much, but I cannot deny that fact. He is fantastic.
You know what he is? He's a hockey goon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he makes his team wear suits and ties and be nice. Like, I listened to an hour-long. Yeah. I watched an hour-long interview with him, and he's interesting. But it's all, like, old-school stuff. Like, you salute your superior officer, and you got to clean your boots. You know, like, all the little things that are just like, you know what? Fucking David Brent, take it easy.
You know what I saw somebody say about Sean Dyche on Twitter? He goes, I don't remember who this was, but they were like, when he calls his players by the first name, I have no fucking idea who they're talking about. Like, that's how nondescript and boring everybody on Burnley Football Club are.
Like, when they flew that Burnley White Lives Matter, I thought they were just talking about the team because they have no black players, which is weird. But to be fair, you know, Ben Mee did say like, that's completely wrong and we don't believe that, but still, it is funny that that team literally has it's all English. It's almost like the Atletico Bilbao of England, not on purpose. They only have English players. Do you think that a team in a Premier League would get away with saying we only have English players who were born in England?
Yeah, they do. It's Burnley.
No, but I mean like that is the policy.
Oh, yeah. Well, like I mean, Bilbao, I'm sort of used to.
Bilbao has that. Like, you can only be a Basque.
Yeah, no.
And that's okay. Absolutely.
Yeah, you know why? They're not, well, they're sort of white, but they're not like white. They're not like English-speaking white.
They speak Basque, which is even weirder.
That's what, well, that's why it works.
And it's multi-border, weird. Right? Because you can be French Basque or...
Yeah, so now that's where they're getting weird with it. But yeah, anyway, I mean, so we have Liverpool all of a sudden, fourth place. Ready? Here's the fun part. Going to North London next, facing off against fifth place Tottenham, who are 1 point behind them with the game in hand.
This is a big game, dude.
This is a massive game. Listen, understand this for a second. If Tottenham get a result, and I understand, if, whatever.
They'll get a draw.
But if Tottenham get 3 points, they go 2 points clear of Liverpool, which puts Liverpool in fifth place again.
Out of the Europa League.
Out of Champions League. With a game in hand on Liverpool.
Yeah.
You're looking at a potential 5 point gap for Liverpool to get into the Champions
League. Well, I think the crazier thing is, like, let's look at this, right? They're on 19, right? Liverpool are at the half.
Yep.
They're on pace for 68 points. That's a 30 point drop.
Yeah.
From last season. They really have fallen off. And like,
so is Virgil van Dijk worth 30 points? Is that what we're saying?
No, I think they were going to fall off anyway. And they're,
absolutely. I mean,
Rebecca Lowe, Lady Lowe has been predicting them out of the Champions League. And I think after they won the league, they kind of fell off anyway. But, you know, let's talk about teams that are winning and taking over the world.
All right, go ahead.
I think I'm actually back into football. Manchester City 2, Aston Villa 0. It was gorgeous. I was yelling. I was screaming. I felt alive. It's the halfway point. This is the first game that I'm like, okay, football's awesome.
Have you ever heard a Manchester City fan sound more like a Manchester City fan, by the way? But
but it took a year. I was like, dejected. I had some games I didn't want
to win. Oh, you didn't win something for like 16 months. Oh, my goodness.
No, we won the League Cup. We always
Oh, yeah. What the fuck am I talking about? listen.
It was
the best
awesome.
Part about the best part about how you were reacting to that game. We were talking about right after it, right? And obviously, we'll get to the controversial goal in a second. But
I could give a fuck.
Exactly. You're like, I don't give a shit. Justice is done. We fucking won. Like, we were better. Blah 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 blah. And I went, there he is. There's my guy. Right.
Like, it was such a good game. Come on, did you watch it? It was so good.
I did. I watched most of the second half, to be honest.
Oh, that was the good part, when Aston Villa was actually playing, as opposed to the first half where they just got battered.
Yeah, right, exactly.
It was bad.
But so let's set the scene, right? Like, for those that don't know, the offsides rule is effectively.
All right. So the go-ahead goal was scored by Bernardo Silva on a pass from Rodri, who essentially came from an offside and took the ball.
Well, it needs a little more context than that, right? Like, Tyrone Mings, correct?
Mings, yeah.
Yeah,
good. So defense. Tyrone Mings really had a great game.
Yeah, he is. And he's a great defender just in general. But so if the ball's in the air and I bring it down, goal kick to midfield, it bounces back to the center back, and Mings has pretty good awareness of his surroundings. And he goes,
he does a shoulder check.
Yes. And he goes, oh, Rodri is about 10 yards behind me, which means he is in an offside position, which means he can't touch me, right?
He's offside. He's offside for all of history until this year.
Holy shit. The Premier League has done a worse job with these fucking rule changes than the NFL has. Like,
yeah,
you know how bad that is? Holy cow. But so anyway.
That the players don't know the rule.
Yes, exactly. Part. Well, it's because they change it like they change their fucking underwear.
Well, right? It's not their rules. They have to. This is where you probably hate this. And I remember I was talking about Garber from the MLS.
Oh, yeah.
Soccer, you can't. You don't control the rules. It's not. You don't own it. You have to go four layers of bureaucracy. So essentially, the rule change was that a ball becomes in play the second a defender touches it and makes a play or brings it down. So that's where the nuance part is. He took it down in his chest and was about to play it, sort of, and Rodri just came in from behind him and took it off it.
And he goes, that's not fucking allowed. And Rodri goes, yes, it is. And he ran away with
the ball. I don't even think Rodri was like, I guess I'll just do this because why not? I don't even think there wasn't conviction. Like, Bernardo Silva celebrated, was like, I guess this is fine.
Yeah, right. Well, that's the thing.
They all had the same reaction.
In a VAR world, everybody, if it's close, they all go, oh, I hope that will kind of
But that wasn't a reviewable play.
That's the weirdest part about all this, is that like,
it's a subjective call.
It's subject. And so,
because he was offside, like there's no way that he was, right?
What's the phrase that they use? Like, it's like a football move, right? They have one of those.
Yeah, phrases. A football in play, like a new.
No,
phase.
It's like a rate, like
a phase of play.
A phase of play. That is the quote unquote for anybody who watches the NFL and you ever hear one of these morons on Fox talk about a football move when he you know, whatever. That's the Premier League version, you turn and take a step after you catch it. So it's technically a new phase of play because he brought it down on his chest and like basically played it with one foot. And then Rodri Ryan robbed him blind. Like, what?
The thing is that a half a second more and the play's fine. It's because it's in that fraction. Like, had Mings brought it down and kicked it, then Rodri got it, I think it would have been like not tackle Mings. Then I think the rule makes more sense. And the thing that was so frustrating was no one explained why the rule exists. That was the thing that was frustrating to me. It seems like there was a rule change that happened, but what was it trying to fix that is now broken? And the only person who I got it from was the terrible. I mean, if ESPN, you're listening, I know you're big fans of the show. Please, a little less Frank LaBeouf. His English is just not good enough. It's just like, why are you on? I don't understand you. And I'm French. And I'm like, LaBeouf, look, get at it. You suck. Give me Burley. Give me Ali Moreno. Give me Julien Laurens. And give me Robson. Any day, all day.
Taylor Twellman? Would you take Taylor Twellman?
I don't like him either.
I hate him. Not Taylor Twellman, ESPN.
The question, Mike, is like, when is a player who's offside allowed to be part of the play?
Right.
What's the rule?
Right? And they seem to be moving the goalpost pretty aggressively.
Well, no, I think they that was what they're trying to solve. It's like,
right,
if you are offside and a ball is played, when do you become back onside? When your team gets it again? That doesn't seem right either.
I think, yeah, no. Okay, so playing that play.
That's what they're trying to solve. So if they're saying if you're offside and the attacker and defending team plays the ball, do you become able to play again? The question is, it shouldn't be immediately.
Well, no, but I think we're complicating this like exponentially more than we should. How about if you're past the last defender, you're fucking offsides?
Until how about when? That?
No, until you're not offsides.
But that was Rodri. Then Rodri wasn't offside.
Oh yeah, because
he came back from an offside position and took the ball off him.
Right.
See, this is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right. So does it have to be?
Yeah. No. Okay. Think of it like this. If the Tyrone Mings
was offside, can't make a tackle until one of his teammates touches the ball?
Not necessarily that. Tyrone Mings has to be onside and then the next player who touches the ball. So imagine this. Tyrone Mings grabs the ball down and he's got it on his foot. Rodri can't touch him. Now,
under that rule, what if he takes off carrying the ball?
Then don't be offside. Like, what do you mean?
So I just have, like, let's say Mings just goes, oh, I have this special aura now. Keep running.
Well, because effectively, one player, right? There's 10 other guys in the field. But from basically what Rodri has to do is he has to clear that line, right?
If he runs and turns in front of him, now he's onside because he's ahead of the ball.
I understand that there is gray area here. But they have to
figure that out.
Well, whatever they did, they fucked it up worse. So
yeah, the City, English went nuts. Listen,
City win a game they should have won. They add a late penalty.
That was a bullshit handball that no one agrees with, but they got it.
But that felt like, didn't that feel like you were watching like that Liverpool shit for a second? You were like, oh, that felt dirty.
No.
That felt wrong.
No.
No, it didn't for you piece of garbage.
No, because City should have had like 8 goals and they've been winning without a striker. And speaking of teams that have too many strikers that have good strikers and we could use one of them, Leicester 2, Chelsea 0. Frank Lampard, you, my friend, are up in line for the hot seat.
Yeah. So, listen, I've said it on the show before. I think, all right, foolish of me to expect Roman Abramovich to have this much loyalty to anyone in the world other than maybe his own mother, right? Yeah. And probably not even then.
Shevchenko. But, he loves Shevchenko.
Yeah, he did. But, like, And I said it on the show before this match. And I was like, look, if they lose this game and they lose it bad, they've got Burnley and they've got somebody. Well, Burnley, I guess now, right? But they've got Burnley and somebody else shitty. I forget who. They come to North London, right? So if they have
Wolves.
Okay, Burnley, so not shitty. So those Chelsea. Are right. So tough, they've got two tough games. If they get six from those six, everybody shuts up at least for a minute.
Yeah, if they win those two, they're fine.
Right. Well, Lampard's fine. Yeah. But I mean, I was reading Fabrizio Romano was saying that like the board is ready to make a move. And I'm like, oh boy. And you know why? Because Thomas Tuchel.
He sucks.
Yeah, but he's a free agent and he's the biggest name out there.
Ugh, I wouldn't touch that dude.
I don't know that he sucks. I mean, look, what tarnishes his reputation? PSG? His
face. He
can't
just
argue
looks
that.
Like he just is like a German technocrat. You knew he would have been in the Gestapo with a fucking long black trench coat and say, yeah, no, we know who you are. We come get you. That's Tuchel. He's a right. Gestapo.
Yeah,
I don't like him.
He lost out on the role in Inglourious Bastards to be like the Jew hunter, right? Like,
yeah. But I mean, Leicester, there's a real question. Are they real title contenders? How good is Brendan Rodgers? Would Brendan Rodgers ditch Leicester for the Chelsea job?
Ooh.
That was a question. I wouldn't. I think Leicester's better than Chelsea. Especially you have a chance right now because he did it before. Like he was at Celtic and it was just like, you know, I'm about to win 9 titles in a row. I'm good. I'm going to leave. I'll take the Leicester job. So he left literally in the middle of the season. He's like, I got this. You guys are good. I'm going to go leave Scotland because I got this.
Yeah.
I think the Leicester job is probably better. Leicester, I think 1-11, I don't think there's a question about whether they have the credentials. They are thin. They can't lose a guy. They just got Pereira back, who before he was hurt was probably the best right back in the league. They're incredible. It's a really, really good team. When they were chilling on Pereira, they were really good. It's not a coincidence that they fell apart in the back half of last season. They're really aware of that. Your boy Madison had another great interview where he was on top of it. They still have Madison, but, you know, they still have Soyuncu to come back. Like, they're just, like, producing center backs. And they're like, I wonder how much we're going to get for this guy. We'll just sell Soyuncu. We just sold Harry Maguire. Maybe they'll sell him to – maybe they can play Maguire and Soyuncu together at United and just make another $80 million, which is fine. Idea. So they're doing awesome. But one thing I noticed, and this is what's interesting, is, yes, they were top of the league after they won that game. On 78 points as their
pace.
Is someone going to win the league with just 81, 84? Like, even if, like, for instance, right? If City win, let's say City win.
They're 82 point pace.
Yeah, that's – no, they're not. Yeah.
If they win their 19th game.
Right. If they win their 19th game, they'll be on 40. They'll be on 80, right? That's 80. That's not good enough. But I mean, assuming there's some improvement from City or some improvement from either team, we're looking at an 85, 84 point season, which would be the lowest point total since Leicester won, which was 81.
So I was talking to my brother about this the other day or yesterday, I should say. And I think from a Tottenham point of view, the frustrating thing to me about this season is that it's so up for grabs and there is no super team. Now, is City starting to...
Again, it's like Leicester, like the Leicester season.
Exactly. Everybody is sort of, I think it's a little bit more competitive than the Leicester season only because everybody like City was shit. Liverpool was
bad,
shit.
Right. They were straight up bad. Right.
Right. Exactly. So this is the season where there's literally five title contenders. I think I'm still putting Spurs in that race. We'll see
how I feel about it. You testing it out again? Sure. We'll why not? They win five in a row. They're right back in it.
They win against Liverpool and everybody's blowing smoke out of their ass again.
Yeah. So, they just have to move up the charts. But the problem is City, right? If City starts, I mean, if City really get into gear, they're gone.
Oh, no, without question. And nobody's under any delusions now, including you. Welcome to the fucking table. That City is the best team in the league. I've been saying it all year. I've been waiting for them to kind of...
They weren't. I'm telling you, dude. They weren't. They were so shitty.
Yeah, fine, fine. But everybody else left the door open, right? That's my point.
Yes, they did not put... No one choked them out.
Right. Liverpool has had many opportunities. Leicester kicked the living shit out of them.
And that was that's really the only bad game they had.
Right. Well... What want to mention one more bad game City had, right?
No, like Spurs, that was
yeah, right, exactly. So, but that's the thing is that Leicester, Liverpool, Tottenham, and United, well, and yeah, I guess United have all left the door open for them.
Here,
right?
But here's the reason why I get so frustrated with City. Right, City have their leading goal scorer has 5 goals, right?
Yeah,
it's Raheem Sterling has 5, Gundogan has 5, Mahrez has 4, Foden has 4, De Bruyne has 3, John Stones now has 2, which is amazing. So. The only striker with any goals is Gabriel Torres, Gabriel Jesus, and he has 2. So we don't have anyone who you could call a goal scorer.
You're acting. See, this is not a bug; it's a feature, right? Like they have goals from everywhere in the team. You don't look towards one guy and go, "Please carry us over the line." I mean, if you did, it's De Bruyne, right? But like, no, he's been kind of weakened.
It's Aguero. We need Aguero.
But it's
I mean, yes, even last season, it was Sterling with 20, Aguero with 16, Gabriel with 14, De Bruyne with 13, Mahrez with 11. So
look, that is, you know what this team is?
Really awesome and kicking ass.
They're just solid all the way through. It's not their record is not going to agree with the analogy, but the 98 Yankees did not have a 25 home run hitter, right? Like they just all were really, really good. They all hit 18 to 23 home runs. They all hit 280, right? Like that's Man City this year.
They're deep. Strong. They're just
everywhere. Deep. Right. They're strong everywhere. And then they got 5 starting pitchers who won better than the last, right? Like, like they've just got benched for days, which of course they've got the GDP of a small fucking nation. Like they should. This is what they should have. When you don't have Aguero and Jesus couldn't hit water if he fell out of a fucking boat, this is what you pay for. So
yeah. And this is the season where the depth comes through because
exactly
guys are just, it's just play after play. And I think, you know, to go back to the Liverpool game, listen, Klopp ran these dudes into the ground. I mean, when they decide that they're going to do the autopsy on this team, you can't play Salah, Firmino and Mane every year for 4 years, 35 games a year, which is what they've done. Jamie Carragher on Monday Night Football on Sky, he basically did a whole breakdown of top threes across international football, again, sure, across European football. And Salah, Firmino, Mane are the only ones who've been together for 4 years. All the other ones break up after 2, break up after 3. Even the Messi ones with Barcelona, the only one that was Suarez, a four-year one was Suarez, Neymar. That was 4 years, and that was the best one. But most of them, 2 years, 2 years. The fact that they just kept running him in there. Maybe Jota, that was the plan to really Firmino, get out of here.
And I think it was surprising that he was the one that went down, right? Especially with like a muscular injury, right? You would have thought that it was Salah or Mane who went down.
And weirdly, front players, they're all 29. I know that sounds crazy, but that's when they go.
Right.
They're starting to run out of gas. Speaking of teams that are strangely just running on empty or have a quarter tank but keep going because they have like an electric bunny in there. I don't know what's going on. A Manchester United 2, Fulham 1. They did it again, these fucking pieces of shit, United.
Another come from behind victory for United. Listen, it's almost like they put in a fully functional Paul Pogba in the team, man.
Out of nowhere, yeah.
Everybody's sort of like, and you included, but everybody's sort of shitting on United and saying, oh, we know that it's just a one-man band. It's just Bruno.
It's great players playing together, but we're so used to Liverpool having a way, Leicester having a way. You know what to expect. City having a way, even fucking Aston Villa and Leeds, these teams that are offensive, they have a way to play. You expect what's going to happen. With United, you're just like, oh, something will happen.
Well, they're
that's
sort
fine.
Of
flexible. You can do it that way.
Yeah, but they're sort of flexible, right? And it does depend on the team sheet. But like, Pogba gives them a completely different direction.
He's going to not suck. He's awesome.
If he's engaged and he's ready to go, right? Like Mino Raiola can eat, you know, shut the fuck up. You know, I mean, I think it's and by the way, before we go any further, Fulham need a shout out because they need a hug, right? They have had
They're
a couple
good.
Of tough luck losses on the bounce here. And yeah. And this is another one where they look really good. I'm worried about them going down because there's now a 5-point gap between them and Brighton and now Burnley 7 points ahead of of the drop. And I just don't want to see Fulham.
They need someone to go into the funk, right? Those three, Fulham, West Brom, Sheffield. We know Sheffield's really gone. They've got 5 points. That's not going to happen. So between Fulham and West Brom, they need someone to sink to them right now. So because I think the weird thing is with the relegation fight, before we get back up to the other teams, it's just like Burnley, Brighton, Newcastle, Wolves, Crystal Palace, Leeds, Aston Villa, they're all good. Like if they just keep winning, you're just going down because they're just better than you. So, right. They have years of being in the Premier League under their belts. Everyone's getting a lot more efficient. Now, granted, next year another three will come up or whatever. But I think some of the disparity in money that's going on is it's getting weird where teams coming up, they just go straight back down. It's very rare. It's rare for Leeds. It's rare for Aston Villa. Like Villa just hung on by the skin of their teeth. And Leeds are a big club with an incredible manager who should never be managing at that level,
right?
And they could get sucked down. It's possible, but I doubt it. But
if I were a betting man, I would place a few shekels on Newcastle dropping.
They'll change your manager. They'll just get a new manager.
That's fine. What I'm saying is, of Brighton, of Burnley, and Newcastle, I like Fulham to catch Newcastle more than the other two. Because Burnley are going to just fucking Sean Dyche it up, as we talked about.
Yeah, they're going to find a way. Yeah.
They're going to be a blind squirrel who finds a nut at Anfield once, you know, in a blue moon.
You only need to do that five times for the rest of the season, right?
Yeah,
that'll give them 15 more points. That'll put them at 30. It's going to only take maybe 35.
Yeah.
A couple more draws.
I think you've hit something right there, too. We talked about the top of the table and the amount of points it's going to take to win the title this year.
It's going to spread through the whole league.
It's going to spread through the whole league. So you've got a few, or is it actually more, do you think, because there's more diversification of the points?
No, the middle is bigger, right? Like look at Everton, West Ham, Chelsea, Southampton, Arsenal, Villa. Yeah, yeah. They're all on 26. So the middle is it's more middle, it's a fatter middle, right? They're not
That's fair.
Yeah, it's not like it's a drop off.
It's a double cheeseburger.
And then having Sheffield on 5 makes all their points are going to somebody, right?
That's not really
a fight down there.
But so normally the benchmarks that says you're safe is 40 points.
That actually 40 will make you win. It's going to be 35.
Do you think? Yeah, it's like 35 this year. Yeah, okay. All right, that's fair.
Right, because these guys are on 24. They're on 24 pace, 30 pace. Like, no, if you have 20, you're gold. Like Newcastle's on 20. But they could just get stuck there.
I just looked at Newcastle's fixtures and it's not handsome, right? So they've got Aston Villa, Leeds, which again, no picnic. Everton, Crystal Palace is an absolute, it's February 2nd, must win game because I do not see them getting.
Who needs that game?
Newcastle. Well, both, I suppose.
Oh, yeah. Newcastle, if they want to stay up, they have to beat.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I think they lose to Villa. I think they get 1 point at best at Leeds, although they have looked like shit lately.
So I just sorted by XG differential by over 90 minutes. And the record is this: West Brom's worst, Newcastle, Burnley, Sheffield, then Fulham. That's top to bottom. So the best of the worst is Fulham.
Yeah.
So and then the super duper weird thing is that Brighton is one spot behind Manchester United.
That is
by a full tenth of a goal, which is a tremendous amount, right?
Well, and XG does not take into account penalties, of course, right? So there you have that. But
it does.
It does.
Yeah, depends on whose XG you use.
Okay, I always look at Michael Kelly's stuff, so he's got.
This is XG, not the political stuff. He must drive you nuts.
Oh, he drives me up a fucking wall. Thank God. You know what? Listen, I hate that guy, but I will give. And he's a Spurs fan, by the way. I give him credit because he has set up an account just for his expected goals graphs. So I'm like, fantastic. I'm going to follow that one and fuck
off. Because Brighton's expected goal differential is 4.1, but they only have 17 points. It's like one of these kids does not belong here. Yeah. City now has the best, then Liverpool, then Chelsea, which says to Chelsea is underperforming what they had expected to be where they should be. Spurs are in fourth, which is where they should be. And then Villa, the teams we love, the teams that I keep talking about that I have so much fun with, Villa, Brighton, Leeds are all above where you'd expect them. That's that kind of gives you a sense of who's fun. And then sure. Southampton are low, which means they've been getting lucky because mm-hmm. James Ward-Prowse usually pulls something out of his ass.
That's correct.
Which is
so fun. Looking ahead, we've got FA Cup. We're going to talk about that in a second, but we are going to have a return to normalcy ish.
Yeah.
It's not going to be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday off, Saturday.
It will, but they might be. There may be one-off games because of these COVID games.
Because of the COVID
schedule.
Stuff.
So yeah. we'll try and get back into schedule. And I think, Mike, you alluded to, we'll try and just do the table as like a notes system and just work down the table. But we're in the FA Cup. We're in an FA Cup fourth round. Mm-hmm. Most of the games are meh. We have Chorley, which is the lowest ranked team. They're playing tomorrow against Wolves. So that'll be the exciting kind of who are these guys? Someone is a plumber. Someone is a, you know, whatever. That's a good game. Fun to watch. They might just lose and it'll be over. But if they win, it'll become an event. Right. So you have that. Arsenal on Saturday play Southampton. That's an interesting game. Really not much to write home about.
I'll give you Spurs for
aside,
a second.
Aside from, well, and we'll get to it. So you want Wickham?
I'm excited for Wickham. Listen, I mentioned this when the draw came out on the show. They played at White Hart Lane. It was the last season. They played a 4-3 game where Sonny was not quite Sonny yet. And yeah. I think he had a hat trick in that game. It was basically Sonny versus Akam Fenway or whatever the fuck you say. And it was tit for tat, like goal for goal. It was nuts. 4-3. Now this guy is rather old now, so I'm not going to give him.
He doesn't play.
But he's still a tank. Oh, you think he's not going to play? He's going to play for this one.
Yeah, 16-17, 4-3, correct. Yeah. But so that'll be good. But the big one is Man United Liverpool at Old Trafford.
Big one.
I'm sure Klopp did not want this game to mean something, because historically, under his rule, Liverpool haven't even tried to make cup runs. One of the seasons, they literally played a bunch of 15-year-olds.
They won that game.
Against Everton? That was a referendum on Everton.
Yeah,
but I think he's going to have to try and win it. He has enough equity. Like, no one's saying that he's going to get fired. But if he just mails this game in, it's kind of fucked up. And then he makes all the pressure on the Spurs game.
Right.
I think they should try and win it, because I don't know. It's political, right? It's like, can you go Man United FA Cup and just be like, nah, fuck it?
Yes, you can. Unless you don't win in any of your last five Premier League games, including one of them at home against Manchester United. Then you have to go to Old Trafford and you have to smack them in the mouth.
Any goals.
That's exactly right. So you have to go to Old Trafford and you have to punch them in the face and say, we are fucking still Liverpool.
Yeah. I think it's a big game. Guns. I think it's a psychological game. It doesn't really have not a title race, not a cup, not a whatever, but
it is. It is
it's a big game.
Listen, I'm not going to say it's a cup final, but it is a big, big game for Liverpool because they've lost all of their swagger. Now, good for them. They're going to play Tottenham right after it and kick this and win on a fluky bullshit goal and get it back. But
no way, man. Mourinho's going to shit house them so hard.
No, there's some voodoo shit that goes on when Tottenham play Liverpool. And I'm
not at home.
Sort of. Yeah. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
City play Cheltenham. I don't even know who. Oh, this will be the first competitive meeting between Cheltenham and Manchester City. So that's a good thing. Their nickname is the Robins. That's so. You don't want to be the Robins.
You're going to get shot out of a tree.
That's not a good name for your club, the Robins.
I don't mind that. But I mean, there's a bunch of dumb ones. I mean, in England, but yeah.
The Brewers, there's multiple Brewers.
I don't mind Brewers. The Cherries are really that exciting. You know, like. No, I mean, I'm not really sure that I'm going to pay too much attention to the FA Cup this weekend, aside from, of course, the big one and probably Spurs versus Hulk. Yeah.
I was just thinking, in the U.S., would Arsenal, would they force Arsenal to change their team name from the Gunners because of, you know, gun violence?
Oh, God. You know what? Listen, the rate we're on right now, I'm telling you right now, these are the two teams that should be looking at, not the Blackhawks. Okay, the Yankees and the Patriots are both going to have to change their names, because in 4 years we're going to be singing the Chinese national anthem. Okay, the Yankees and Patriots will be considered too American and too masculine.
The New York baseball team.
That's right. That's right. No, the New York Comrades. We're just going to change it. We're going to flip
Comrade Yankee.
Yeah.
No. The Yankees are institutional. They can't change that.
That's what I thought about the fucking Redskins.
The Redskins is literally a racial slur.
Yeah, it is. Not the Redskins. But the Cleveland Indians, by the way, I brought a Chief Wahoo who had the second that news
broke. I think that's
ridiculous.
It's literally named after you can ban Chief Wahoo, okay? That's pretty bad.
No. The one, by the way, the one the Braves had in the 70s, that one was bad. All right? That was bad. Chief Wahoo was fine. By the way, what else?
The Redskins with the big smile. Come on.
Yeah, dude. Okay. I'll give you.
Pretty bad. But they could be still called the Indians. It's literally named after a guy who was an Indian.
Yeah. Oh, what are we going to do? Are we going to whitewash Major League now? And you call them Cleveland baseball team in the movie? No, are you going to go back?
The art is already there. Listen, don't go back. You know, it becomes very the Ministry of Truth comes in and has to erase history.
Oh, have you not seen? We're there, buddy.
No. It's the stupidest hill to die on.
I know.
History of stupid.
That's the thing is that everybody is kind of been, well, not everybody, I guess only 75 million people have been saying that for 18 months, being like,
that's ridiculous. The thing is like, will you just, you cannot agree with me, but giving people $2,000, $15 minimum wage actually helps people, even if you think it's too much money, whatever. Like, in the short term, hey, they got money. Good for them.
Hey, the $2,000, I agree. But the $15 an hour, it's like, we're going to just, are you already sick and dying, small businesses? Here's a gunshot wound to the temple. Like,
yeah,
it's just.
Yeah, I hear you. I get it. Maybe it's under five people that has to be that way. All I'm saying is like, you can help people, and changing names of things that is the easiest thing to do while you line your pockets with Chinese money, like you said.
Holy dog shit. Laurent and Mike have found a bridge to walk over holding hands.
No, we're fine. Don't worry about it. I know. It's okay. It's okay. Listen.
No. I told you.
I love. I love my friends. I don't care what you fucking think. You're still.
Oh, dude, I hate myself. I'm not, But no, it's at that's, yeah. We got bored of the FA Cup. We started talking about politics.
But so we're good. No, it's fine. We can, it's part of living. We need to know who everyone is. But so FA Cup, the big game is the Man United game. Then we have the Premier League will return right after that.
But we will have a show before that. So
but we will have a show before that to cover things. And it's all very exciting. That was the one and only Squeaky Bum Time podcast with Mike Salerno and Laurent Cortines. We do a show Mondays and Thursdays, especially when Mike shows up. I try and do them. We've only missed one, but please like, subscribe, share all the stuff you do to make people listen to this. There are 12 of you, and I like you. I'll speak to you later. Bye.